All right. We're back again. The famous four, popular request. You know you started listening to it because of us. Mm. It's Tippers.
Maeve.
Finn Sexy Smith.
Bonsoir.
Marvellous Matty.
Hello.
And me, Tookie.
Right, play the intro song.
Yes, we are back for another episode of the Sticks and Balls podcast, and it is truly a delight to have these three brilliant blokes back on. Finn Smith, Tookie and Tippers, welcome back.
I'll stop at you.
How does it feel to be back?
It's a pleasure as always.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
I know you've missed us.
I can apologise, we are slightly hanging as we had a mental Wednesday social.
Not me.
No, left early.
Ripe as ever, but we had an amazing Pokemon social. Thank you, Finn Smith and Tippers, for another brilliant evening.
Thank you for coming.
Again, my pleasure.
Yes. So as we are back, and because it is us four back again, we are starting with a new topical question, which Finn Smith is going to introduce for us.
Yes. New line of questioning, so to speak. New top three. Mm. Because there were some scandalous top threes pint-wise. Not looking at anyone.
I mean, only...
Yeah. Flavoured cider doesn't count as that's juice, mate. He said he doesn't really drink that much.
So...
All right. Who else put it?
Elliot's getting an eyebrow slit on Friday because he didn't tell us he wasn't coming to the social.
Is that what the rule is?
That is what the rule is. Yeah. If you say you're coming, you don't have the courtesy to not let us know.
But also, if you've ever thought that flavoured cider would be in your top three pints, I never want to meet you. So, moving on.
Anyways, Finn Smith, take it away.
It's all right, guys. Got a little bit sidetracked there, but it's fine. Yeah. I was giving it a bit of thought. And I couldn't really think of a top three. And on the bus journey here, I got talking to some people. And the topic of icks came up.
Yes.
So I want to know, for those of you who don't know, maybe you're an older listener, mother, father, dearest. Mm. An ick is something that would put you off your member of preferred sex in a partner, so to speak, significant other.
Very well put.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers. Right.
Love it.
So I need one from each of you, and I'm going to rank them 1 to 3.
Okay. Can you two say yours?
Would you like me to give an example?
Give an example.
An example could be, personally, I think you've gone out for a lovely meal, and you have pasta or something with sauce, and it sort of just sits around the corner of their mouth.
I don't know, mate. I personally want to go lick it off.
But that's a very common one I've seen.
I've got mine.
Go on.
When they call their mum and dad by their first name rather than calling them mum and dad.
Do people do that?
Yeah. When they refer to their parents by their first name.
What's worse, that or them or saying mummy and daddy?
Definitely mummy or daddy's worse.
Yeah. No.
Unless they're from Chelsea. They can say what they fucking want.
Unless they've got money.
No, don't say that. No. The disrespect that this wonderful woman has brought you into the world to be your mum and you decide to call her by her first name.
Susan.
Cheers for chat. All
my kids call me Tippers. That'll be banner.
Sandwich. They call you sandwich.
Daddy sandwich.
Daddy, please.
Matty,
cheek to the mic.
You got an ick at all, Matty?
I'm trying to think of a few. Wait, what was yours, Tippers?
Mine is a bad table mannered female.
Bad table mannered.
Define bad table manners.
Fork and knife in the correct hands, please, and don't chew with your mouth full of food. It's easy. Just do it. If you're eating beans or peas, don't scoop them up. Use the top side of the fork. Come on.
Preach, son.
Fair.
I'm the son of a preacher, man.
I actually have not. Oh, I'm really sorry.
Are you fucking dangerous?
I don't really know.
So we've had, to recap, Finn, you said...
Calling the parents by their first name.
First names, yeah.
And then just eating.
Eating like an animal.
That's really annoying because I eat like an animal.
I know, mate.
That's why I can never love
you. You know
when I... Just in case Matty and Tippers end up getting together.
Heard it here first.
It's on the cards, mate.
Matty, any danger? Fuck.
Oh, okay. When they try and act up in front of your mates.
Oh.
That.
I respect it, mate. They've got bollocks.
Yeah, but when they like...
They're jarring.
Much. Or if it's in front of their mates, they act a bit different, like act up. That's what.
Changing their attitude around boys.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Just be yourself.
Okay.
Have to be you. You don't need to change in front of people.
So what's your ick then? Because he's going to rank him.
That what I just said.
Acting up, yeah.
Acting up.
Acting differently with a group than on the right.
With a group of people on purpose.
Yucky.
Because everyone changes how they are with people naturally, but if you're doing something on purpose, like, I
understand.
Yeah, my voice will go deeper when I talk to the boys, but yeah. I'm chatting to the missus.
When I speak to Mac, I have to keep my voice extremely more deep because it's so deep.
Mac's voice is
he definitely swallowed the microphone at birth, probably. I don't know. Right, I'm going to rank because...
Rank them, please.
Otherwise,
you're going to what?
Okay, from last to first, they're all very bad addicts. I would put third. Tookie, I would put yours third. That's probably the one I could least be fussed about.
Maybe it's just not related.
I don't think it's that common.
Yeah,
I think it's a niche-ish one. I'd arguably put...
I'm number one, baby.
I think I'm number one.
Don't do that to me.
Think about all the women you've been with in the past.
You know, speaking on the topic of, you know, Tip is like eating really loudly. One day after one Wednesday, the girls opposite us, shout out Izzy, Allegra and Anya, we went and got sushi and then came back. And we were eating at their thing. It was the first time I'd ever eaten in front of them. And obviously I eat really loudly. As we were eating, one of them just went, "Can you shut the fuck up?"
One of the girls said that to you. I respect that so much. Do you have to be so loud?
You know what? Now you've said that, I'm going to have to put Yorick second and his first. Because table manners would include that if someone ate loudly, every time you want to go for a nice meal with them, you're just going to be like, "I don't want to sit in front of you."
Yeah, that's true. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Izzy.
Goated. You're well fucking goated.
Izzy Dooley. Shout out Izzy Dooley. Welfare of netball. Lots of love. Love you. So what was the ranking then? Tip is top number one.
Tip is a sweep to number one.
That's what I do.
Matty in week second, week third.
I'm like an Ebra. I spit into any team that score goals.
The team this year without me, when I went to Milan, didn't know if you remember that.
Where we won.
Did you make a French soup the other day?
Yeah,
well?
So I missed the one game that the ones won and the three I've played. We've all lost.
How many goals have you got in those three games? Not you, personally, the team.
Zero.
We scored one. Shout out El Nino.
I did have two shots on target yesterday.
Yes, Tiffers.
He was counting his stats, Paddy Power.
And I had a shot cleared off the line.
Wow.
I actually got man of the match yesterday, so that was a real honour.
He really did it.
I think it was a joint man of the match from...
I mean, it wasn't. I've got the stats up here right now if you want me to bring it up.
Oh, also, let's say it now. Obviously, the first episode has come out with us. I just want to say to the people listening, thank you so much for listening.
It does mean a lot.
The reception we've got is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Been stopped in the street many times.
We are truly so grateful for the reception we've got. Please listen to the upcoming episodes, out every Thursday weekly.
Life has changed since the first podcast came out.
Life has changed. Feel like new men.
On top. Watch this space. We're coming up.
Yeah, so this episode, now we've covered the first topic, is about psychological trauma. Now, obviously, in the statistic we spoke about in the first episode, it reported that 45% of people, this is reported in Scotland, had was dealing with some sort of psychological trauma. Now, boys, I'm going to tell you a story today myself, or when I experienced something quite, I'd say fairly
traumatic.
Yeah, fairly traumatic.
Mr. Traumatic, shut down.
And I'm going to talk about...
This is serious.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about how I've dealt with it, basically, because the whole point of this is that if we talk about things that we've experienced, hopefully people can relate to it. So when I was 16 years old, I got shot in the head.
Sorry? Yeah. So we're not laughing at the situation.
No, we'll keep this in.
Great age.
So what you just said, when I was 16 years old, got shot in the head. Where'd you live?
South London.
South East?
South West.
Oh, I was going to say.
South London West.
Super. I'm also South London West.
Shut up.
I am from Greenwich.
Brighton.
Sorry.
Talk us through it, mate. Go on.
So when I was 16 years old, I got shot in the back of the head with an air rifle after being chased by travellers. Let me explain to you. So I was 16 and I used to work as a lifeguard every Wednesday, 6 to 10 midweek while I was at school. And I was walking down my road. Now, for those of you who don't know about my house, is that I live on an extremely long road. There's actually a school on my road. That's how long it is. Tibbs actually already knows about this. When did we speak about it?
A couple weekends ago.
You remember?
At a bit of a scatty
afters.
Scatty. It was a breeze.
Scatty
breeze with Finley Fletcher and Jimmy. Shout out the boys.
Big up them.
So basically, I was walking down my road. It was about 10:30 in the evening. And the way my road is, to those listening, it was a really, really long stretch. Like, we're talking
400 yards.
Yeah, I reckon about.
Pretty fucking long.
Yeah. And I was walking just on my phone casually, hood up, earphones in. I'll be honest, this is what happened. So a van pulls up next to me. Well, a van drives past, and then it slowly reverses back.
Oh.
Straight away, you're thinking.
Da, da, da.
First thing, obviously, when you with your earphones in and you have yours on your phone, you're not really thinking, but when it reverses back, you're thinking, all right, it's a bit weird, but whatever. Then the window goes down and it's two men in the van and they go, yo, you look peng. I was thinking, oh my. Right, 16, yeah. Cheers. I hadn't probably experienced anything like this before. So I was actually... something felt so weird inside. Everything just froze for a second. It was like, what the fuck? And they went, when they went to me, you look peng. And I was like, what? And they went, you look peng. And I went, no, I'm good. I bolted it. I sprinted down the road. Never ran so fast in my entire life.
And you're a fast guy.
I am quick. Yeah. I wasn't that quick then. Also had crusty shoes on, so that definitely slowed me down in this
chase.
And you
had a bit of pork belly back then. Grew out of it.
And then next thing you know, as I'm running, the van goes full speed in reverse.
And it was a long road.
It was a long road.
About 400 yards.
Yeah. And then...
Wait, so have you run... The van's pulled up in reverse and you've run the other direction?
No, yeah. So the van's drove past... I'm walking down the road. The van's come the other way. So it's not the same direction as me. Yeah, and then it's reversed back. Yeah. So then it starts going full pelt reverse. Mm. And then I hear one of them shout, he's getting away. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I start sprinting down the road full speed as the car goes, spins around in the driveway and goes full speed itself. As it drives past me, a guy tries to grab me and he goes, we're gonna fucking get you, or something like that. Then I get to the, I'm sprinting down the road. My house is at the end of the road. So I'm thinking, if I need to get into this house and just get away. As I'm running, the van pulls up. So you've got my house and there's the neighbor's house closest to me where I'm running and that neighbor's house furthest away. Do you get what I mean? So either side, left and right. Yeah. It pulls up to the one on the left, so the one furthest away, and five guys get out the van. Can I make clear, this entire situation was all in the space of 30 seconds. Like, it was all absolute blur. Jeez. As I'm running, they don't know my house is my house. So they just think I've just run into the first place. I sprint into the driveway, I get to the door, I bang on the door, no one answers. As I'm banging on the door, loads of little bullets start hitting the door. But obviously, everything was moving so quick, I didn't even register it at the time. I then get my key out, get it in, unlock the door, open. My mum's there. I get in, and she slams the door shut. My mum told me straight after, it's actually so weird even thinking about this now, that the guy was on the doorstep when I got in. So I was milliseconds away from just being taken.
What?
Fucking hell.
It was one of the most adrenaline, scariest experiences I've probably ever had in my life. Because I like to think where I grew was a nice area. We really have things like that. So when that first happened, so I came into the house, I'm in absolute shock. I just can't believe what's just happened because I had no idea who the people were at this point. So I thought it was just some people trying to kidnap me. And then I just started like crying. I was just like, what on earth has just happened? I think that's what you naturally would do when you experience 100%,
mate. 100%.
Experience that sort of emotion. And then I touch the back of my head and I feel something on it and I'm like, what on earth is this? It felt like a skittle on my head. It felt really weird because I had so much adrenaline, I didn't register it. They had shot me in the back of the head with a metal air rifle bullet. So then I was like, oh my God. Then I hit that, and I hit a different level of shock. That's when I was like, I've just been shot in the back of the head. What on earth is going to happen to me? Like, I was so worried. Luckily, so the police came after and we spoke about it, and it turns out there was some travellers staying in the local near Tesco near me with a massive car park, and they were going around basically trying to rob people. There was a few stories about it in the area. And so I found out that's what it was. Went to hospital, got it taken out of me, the bullet. They had to shave around my head and then pull it out. It was pretty crazy. looking back now. I mean, it's what, 6 years ago.
You're an old boy.
Yeah, you're an old boy now. Yeah, 16.
Wow. Great
around,
age.
Around March time is when I got shocked. Is when it happened, and I think when it first happens on the day, it was just a bit of shock. It was like, I need to just go get it out of me. I'm just so grateful. I'm fine. Got a week off school. That was pretty cool.
Decent.
Worth it.
Got a week off school, and the teachers were very nice to me from then on. Got a reason to. They gave me better predicted grades because of it, which was really lovely of them. But how can I explain this? The way I dealt with it was that the way I experienced it was that the first 2 days after, the only thing I could see was what happened.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting at the dinner table, look up, I'd see the people coming out the van with the guns. I'd try and go to bed, I'd sit on the sofa, I'd try and watch the TV. The only thing I could see was me just sprinting into the driveway. It was just on my mind nonstop as a cycle for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. I just don't think my brain could comprehend what had happened. Like, it was like definitely one of the most intense experiences I've ever had. But then over time, I think once I knew the travelers were out of the area, I was fine after that. And I thought it was pretty cool too. I thought it was definitely a story to tell the grandkids.
Yeah, and it's a good one. Like, it was obviously you're all right now, so
yeah,
it's calm.
Yeah, of course. But now it's 6 years on. I don't worry. I don't have any. It was only really for a week I saw it, and then I went to a party. Yeah, and I went to the party, and then I came back, and I remember the school provided me some therapy. They said go speak to a therapist at the school. But the therapist, they agreed to having me one about 2 weeks in. By the time that happened, I was sort of over it by then. I knew what had happened to me was a one-off thing. Like, you never really...
You can't live your life thinking like these things can happen, worried. Otherwise you wouldn't leave the house,
but
would
you? But definitely what does affect me now is when I heard... So a few months later, they were back in the area. I didn't want to leave the house. My mum went to me, can you go walk the dog? I was like, no. I just didn't want to walk that up and down around my road after just what happened. I think it was just the first time, just knowing that. And then I did actually take my dog for a walk one evening when they were there, and I actually bumped into a girl crying because one of them had just mugged a girl.
What do you think now? You'd still have the same emotions when going out if you knew they were there, or even anywhere you live in the future? So bearing in mind you've got a long, long life ahead of you, Matty.
What's changed now is I often only have one earphone in most times, because and I always check my surroundings a lot more now when I'm walking anywhere, especially at night. I'm just a lot more switched on with everything, and
it's not a bad thing to be.
No, but it's a good thing.
Are you going to do anything, do you think, moving forwards to sort of help yourself there? Because fair enough, it's good to be aware of your surroundings, but especially where we live now, and I'm assuming where you've grown up, and anywhere you're probably going to live in the future.
Yeah,
it's not a life to live to be worried or to have it, not that you're constantly worried, but to have that in the back of your mind, it's not the way to live. So what do you think you're going to do?
I don't think it necessarily is in the back of my mind anymore. I think because it's been a while, what I take from it now is only a positive thing. Now I'm just a bit more switched on. I wouldn't say it haunts me in any way anymore, because all I think about, and it's not like I'm walking down the road and I'm stopping, getting a fucking map and looking at what every single exit is on the road. It's just being just that little bit more just switched on.
Yeah.
It's like when you're a centre half in footy, you've got to check your shoulder. Yeah.
Check
your shoulders,
check your mirrors.
Where's your man?
One of my brother's old football coaches, when they used to score, while they were running back to the pitch to start again, he'd go to them, "What, boys, check your mirrors quickly, check your mirrors," just to check their shoulders while they're running back when they weren't even playing.
Yeah,
but they just
never know what's coming.
That's probably something to do with that's ingrained in you, isn't it?
It's clearly affected the trajectory of your life to the point where you've like internalized it so that you're checking yourself, your shoulders, you have one earphone out. Do you think that when it happened, there's anything now looking back on it you would have wanted to have had to make it easier to deal with?
What do you mean?
So you had the therapy for like the 2 weeks or so, and you said you had the 3 days to the week of that's all you could see. Yeah. Do you think during that time there's anything you would have wanted that would have...
See, the thing is, right, I know I've just explained it and spoke about how intense it was. It doesn't really affect me at all really now. As I said, it just keeps me switched on. So when I look at the process of it, I don't look at anything negatively just because I am fine now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, that was just my mindset, that I knew this was just a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And I knew that, like, this was, it's quite a rare what happened.
I reckon potentially if that the similar incident happened these days.
Yeah.
I know it's only 6 years ago, but I feel like you would have so much more support much quicker.
Yeah, I
think so.
Like,
if you say your therapist, it took 2 weeks to see him at school, or her, whoever. Her. But now I reckon next day you'll be speaking to someone, everyone's so much more switched on, I think, in such short amount of time as well.
That's actually a really good point. I definitely think, because it was obviously the first time, I didn't really know what I was supposed to do. But now, if it did happen to me again, I would probably, the next day, speak to someone or just talk to people about it and explain it. And try to spend as little time as possible by myself. Yeah. I think, because the problem was is that when it first happened, I just didn't want to speak. I just wanted to tell people. I didn't want everyone.
Were you embarrassed?
I don't think so.
No.
Because I thought it was.
It does make you look quite fucking hard, to be fair. That you've been shot on the head.
Well, it depends.
I once got shot on the head by a paintball.
You know what I mean?
it depends what you mean when you say embarrassed. Whether or not you were like embarrassed about the situation happening to you, or embarrassed about what you were feeling post.
Yeah. The emotions after, I feel like, can, especially with trauma, can you kind of feel bad for feeling bad?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I think. That's a good question, actually. I think there was definitely times where I was walking down my road and a van would drive past and I'd like clinch my shoulders a bit and get a bit worried, and it would drive past and nothing would happen. I'd think,
oh, why? Thank fuck for that.
I also think, why am I worrying so much about every van that goes past? Like, it's such an annoying thing to have on your mind.
And what do you think now? So like you said, you feel like things have changed. Do you think that was just a case of time, or was there anything you did individually?
I think it was sort of, a case of time. I think it was just the fact. I think obviously it's 6 years on. I've lived so much longer in my life now. I've seen so many different things and I've heard so many more different stories. I feel like at the age, I just didn't really know much about this sort of thing, or never just worried about it at all. I just never thought it would cross. I'd cross paths with something like that.
It's quite a vulnerable age, 16, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is. You're still growing then. It's when you're just coming into sixth form. Like, you're just coming out of. I was in year 11, so.
You're easily manipulated.
Yeah, at 16, I thought I was basically 18. I felt like I was an adult. And I think something like that would set you back so much further than you'd think.
But Tippers, can you stop fucking with the mic, please?
Sorry, mate. I'm a bit fidgety today.
with something like that as well, I think it's. I think 6 years ago, you think about the place where mental health was, as in. Mental health support and stuff like that. I think therapy was all, everybody knew that was there, and counselling people knew that was there. But clearly, for something like that, you probably want something specific to that situation. Otherwise, getting support from someone that's never been shot at or been I've grown up in areas where I've been rushed, but it's because I live in quite a nice area in South London. Getting rushed it's kind of scary, and then for the few days after that, you're worried and you're checking, and it's different to what happened to you. But if I was to receive therapy on that, I think when I've received therapy for things in the past, it was never, nothing's ever specific. It's just kind of like a general mental state. Whereas now,
such
nowadays,
a good point. That is actually such a good point. Yeah, definitely.
And now nowadays, I feel like the way that it's moved forward, and even I think the last time I received therapy was 4 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
It was so general, but now I feel like the support there, especially with what you can access online, it's important to note that any aspect of your mental health, because mental health is such a broad thing, it's similar to physical health in the way that I can injure my ankle and I can injure my head and I'm going to have two completely different people see me for that. Whereas, you know, to your mental health, you can have something traumatic happen and you're going to need support around that specific situation, or you could have, you know, chemically grown up with a mental health issue.
Yeah.
And you're going to need a completely different type of support for something like depression and something like trauma, which in the past few years, when you look for it, you're going to find it. It's just a case of looking for it now, which I think 6 years ago, it was really difficult to look for specific help.
Mate,
I definitely. Think that's a big part of the stigma around mental health, men's mental health as well, is that everybody thought, they would generalise it quite broadly, like Finn said, and they think, oh, if it's mental health, it's literally just, it can only be this sort of thing. There's so many different avenues and so many different types of mental health that affect people in many different ways. And it's not just simple black and white, oh, go get some therapy, you'd be good in 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, you need a lot of different things. I think how far it's come, the support that you can access
now,
mental health wise, it's a good step in the right direction. Are we there yet? No.
But that is why we're here.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to encourage this. I think what you both two boys have said are actually brilliant points. I didn't even think about that, is that there is different sides to mental health. It's not just one thing. There are so many different alleys with it, and why people will need different treatment for different things. It could be something that you've grown up with, or like an experience like we've just spoke about here. I definitely think I'd recommend to people listening, if you have experienced something traumatic like that, I would recommend, don't feel embarrassed to tell people. Because one thing that I wasn't embarrassed to tell my friends. And my friends at the time, which I am so thankful for them and I love them so much, was that they were so supportive throughout the whole thing. They were always asking how I was. They always made sure if I was okay. There was actually one time where my mate, I was walking down the road and my mate drove past blasting music, and I thought it was like for rowdy people, and he was trying to get my attention, but I thought it was someone. So I pretended to go into a different house just because I'd had such a bad flashback of it.
Mate,
and he went straight after. He went, mate, I'm actually so sorry. I was like, no, it's fine. It's just, but like, please don't feel embarrassed to speak to people about it. Because that's what you should do. And as I said before, if you do feel like it, at the time for me, because it time had passed before they tried to offer me therapy at the school, and it wasn't the right sort of therapy. I don't think it was just, as we said, general one.
Yeah.
I didn't really get it out. But please go and find someone that you feel comfortable to speak to, and just talk to them about it and get it all out of your system. Because the more you sit with it, if you sit with it in yourself, it just eats you up more, I think.
Yeah.
Something like this, like an experience like that, or maybe let's say you've almost been stabbed or something like that, I don't know, or you've been rushed, don't feel embarrassed to tell people about it. You shouldn't feel...
In an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Captain Raymond Holt gets mugged.
It does.
And he's very embarrassed about it. And I think it's a bit of a similar... So we can look at that episode. I'm going season 4, episode 15.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head. But yeah, he was embarrassed, and then the squad... Jake Peralta, JP, my man, he helped him, spoke to him, and now they're pretty good
friends. But how much shorter could that episode have been if he just turned to Jake Peralta at the start and said, look, this is what I'm embarrassed about.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole school would have supported him.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And,
apart from Gina, I hate Gina.
Obviously, we're not telling people to fucking shout about it and tell everyone that they walk past. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, but find the people that you're comfortable around to talk about these things, and don't feel afraid to tell them, because they will understand.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels weird even just telling you boys about this story now, to be honest. I don't know if this will go online. But
yeah, I mean, speaking about a different type of trauma that I went through, I mean, all the boys will know about it, and then people around me 100% will know, because it was quite bloody obvious.
Mm.
In February, well, the start of February last year, as the boys will know, I was training 6 times a week to push for National League Hockey.
Yes.
And I finally made my full debut at second division nationally. So it's quite a big moment for me. My family came down, my girlfriend came down.
Woo woo!
Shout out the girlfriend. What's her name again?
Maddie.
There we go.
You should not follow the podcast. Right. Shout out Maddie from Liverpool.
It was a big thing for me, and I think not many people around me really knew how much that really meant to me. I mean, people can see how much I care about hockey now.
Yeah.
People probably saw it last year as well with my 4 yellow cards and 6 greens in about 5 games.
And also your knee slide when the 2 scored. Check out hockey's highlights if you want to see it.
Check out the highlights on the Instagram.
Sorry, some passion from Tookie.
But yeah, so what had happened was I'd played the full game, and towards the end, I feel like it was because I was so stressed about it, and, you know, I didn't speak to anyone about how nervous I was, because this was the biggest thing that had ever happened to me. It is just sport, but sport was everything.
So
I didn't speak to anyone, and I worked myself up. And then towards the end, the ball was completely the opposite side of the pitch, and I was playing left back. It was a right wing.
Mm.
So I turned and just ran in a straight line. As I ran in a straight line, I hear a bang. And I think, oh, what's that? Tried to take another step, completely collapse. And can't feel anything going through my leg. But because I was too scared to kind of admit that I'd got that badly injured, I tried to take myself off. Yeah. In the process, further tore my calf.
Mate.
which meant when I was lying there, was in complete agony. But yeah, I think the immediate response to that was just, oh, this is funny, isn't it? I thought I'd like twisted my ankle or something. Mm. Because the adrenaline, you don't really know what you've done. And then the physio goes, yeah, like he's got no response throughout his leg. Like he's ruptured his Achilles. And then when I heard that, I went, all right, I haven't been to hospital yet. It's just a physio. And then like my mum was looking at it and she was squeezing, like trying to squeeze my calf. I couldn't feel anything. And there was no response. Like in my, like if you squeeze your calf now, you'll get a response in your foot. There was no response in my foot. She went, yeah, I think it's a high grade tear. She thought it was a grade 3, which would have meant that I wouldn't have been able to walk for about a year and wouldn't have been able to come back to hockey again. So that's where I was at.
Is your mum medically professioned?
No, she's just a mum, innit?
They do know best. Mothers know best.
They just have this information in the back of their minds.
But yeah, so then I went to A&E and it was COVID times. So I had to sit in A&E on my own for about 4 hours, foot up, no clue what had just happened. So yeah, so I was hopping everywhere.
Mate.
Yeah, hopping everywhere. And then got into the examination room and the bloke just goes, yeah, no, you're going to need a scan tomorrow. Because they weren't able to do it that night. And I was just there like, all right, what am I going to do? Like, I was obviously living on campus at the time. And I was like, I'm going to have to go back to my dorm. I'm not going to be able to walk to the kitchen. I've got a massive boot on. Been told I've got to inject myself twice a day with blood thinners. And then
fucking
just
hell, man.
And then I was just like, oh, shit. And then my parents were like, oh, well, do you want to come back home? And I was just thinking, no, I'll just stay here, I'll stick it out. It's not that bad. And then as we kind of approached the uni, I remember just looking down and going, everything I've worked for over a year and a half since hockey started up post-COVID was gone, just like that. Mm-hmm. And just flat, breaking down into tears and just going, shit, like that's, it's all gone. And I was like, I didn't know if I was going to play again because I didn't know how bad the rupture was. And just kind of like looking up at my parents and I kind of thought how much they'd sacrificed, how much I'd sacrificed. Like you saw I wouldn't go to socials and do anything like that. I was so committed to doing this and had it all ripped away. And then, so moving forward, I got all the medical support I needed and the tear was only a grade 1, which meant I was on crutches for 6 months, something like that. But zero psychological support.
At all,
nothing.
That's awful, mate.
And was that zero psychological support because you weren't open about it all?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't speak about it. You saw I turn up to training, but like, it's nothing against the boys, but kind of the attitude around everything last year was just like, a bit blasé, so it would be, you right, mate? And I'd be there like, yeah.
It was very surface level. You take someone's first word as that as the complete answer. If you asked someone's okay and they said yeah, then there was no real.
Yeah. Bearing in mind, I lived on in Bodiam on East Slope, which is at the
what third. Flat in Bodiam?
14.
I was in 18.
Room 14D. But yeah, so I live there, and bearing in mind that is the closest you're getting to the hockey pitch.
Yeah.
I still have to get up 40 minutes before training.
Mate.
And that's how long it would take me to walk from where I was. And bearing in mind, this is about 200 meters, but it's all uphill. So it took me that long.
Your arm's looking better for it. So there are some positives.
Trust me, I got wham and not in a good way, put on significant amounts of weight.
On top of that point, so everything that you'd, it's not going to be a fun conversation, this. Everything you'd worked for, so to speak, went. In the sort of first week to month post hearing what had gone on and the initial realization, where was your head at in that first like week? Did you?
Yeah. Well, bearing in mind that I had this boot attached to me, I didn't have a cover for my boot, so I couldn't shower for a week. I'd have to wear this boot to bed. And
I don't shower for a week quite regularly.
We know you don't wash tippers.
But yeah, so I had to wear this boot to bed, and it was night after. I couldn't sleep because just what was playing back in my head was just everything was gone. couldn't sleep, struggled to eat, struggled to sort of take my mind from anything other than what I was going through. And then just that sort of realization, I just put a face on and left it until I was alone. And then when I was alone, it would be like pure tears. And then as soon as I hear someone walking up the stairs, or when I was in halls, as soon as you hear somebody open their door,
yeah,
like I just have the ability just to shut it off.
Just disappear.
That's it. Like my face will just completely change and nothing's happened. I like to splash my face with water, dry it, can go in, like, you know what I'm like, I can just go out and I'll just fuck about and pretend nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, mate. Yeah. It's so rough that, and it's such a shame you didn't get the support you should have. Who are these people?
Sorry, some people are walking past being very obnoxiously loud.
Sorry, there's still loads of people going past. It's such a shame you didn't get the support that you probably would have liked, because I think anyone would feel the way you did if that happened to them. Because when you have a goal for something and you want something so badly for something like that, because you could, like, there's nothing you could have done for that to happen. You can't look back and be like, oh, I wish I didn't want for that. But you can't think about that because it's something that just happened. And it was just so unlucky, and it's such a shame that you didn't get the support you need. Because when you feel something like that go, it would feel awful.
I think that's something that you need to be told as well. Because I haven't been in the situation, obviously. I haven't had the same sort of experience, but I can imagine that you'd start playing the what if game very quickly.
100%.
Yeah. So you'd map out that year and a half, and you go, what if I'd done this? What if I strengthened this a little bit more? What if I trained here? What if I hadn't have done that on that day? And that's a very detrimental thing to do.
You can't think like that because
there's not a lot you could have done. There's, if anything, you could have done. Mm. So,
I'm a big believer everything happens for a reason.
Back now, first team captain.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Winning the fucking league. So, what
are
we saying?
Yeah, so how are you now, though?
Now, it's weird because, I've gone back to trying to play at Brighton, and I did my pre-season. So, Brighton's the National League club I was at, and, you know, it's fucking difficult to turn up to training sessions there every week because it's like pushing myself again to that point. I've got such a psychological barrier behind it, along with obviously I'm not physically ready for it yet.
Yeah.
But it's just like the thought of pushing myself to that point again and then getting to touching distance is fucking difficult.
It's a bit scary to think about.
Like, honestly, I mean, people will watch me play hockey now and I don't think, as much as my emotions are more in check in the way that I don't take it out on other people, people can watch me now go onto a sideline, shut my mouth, and just have to cool off for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's only because I'm there just thinking, don't overdo it, don't overdo it, don't overdo it, don't overdo it. And then it's like, now I'm holding myself back. And I feel, thing is, with mental health, 9 times out of 10, you know exactly what you need to do to stop it. It's just finding the tools to get to that point. It's the courage.
It's actually doing it and going for it, because it's such a difficult thing to actually, you know what you need to do, but it's so difficult to actually think of whether you will push yourself to go and do it or not and go speak to people. Did you speak to anyone then about it?
No, I wouldn't have ever, because...
But have you, obviously you're speaking about it now, but have you spoke to people about it now though? Mm. As much or... No. Really?
Well, I was literally in a point where I was like, oh my, I'd be eating at home, but I wasn't... You know when you eat without an appetite?
Yeah.
So like...
Because you know you need to eat, but you don't want
you
to.
I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to sleep, because every time I sleep, it's like, what... Like, I'm not sleeping for it. Like, you close your eyes and then you're back in your darkest point again. And then it's zero psychological support post-injury was like, fuck. Like, that. The feeling of it all being gone wasn't just all the effort. It was all of the sacrifices I've made. The times that I'd have to, you know, even when I was back home before uni, the times that I'd have to say no to going out and the times that I'd, you know, being with my girlfriend and be like, all right, home time now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't have slipped up, couldn't have made any mistakes just because you're so focused on it. And then you kind of go, all these sacrifices for nothing. And then now I've got to build it back up again. And I know I will build it back up again.
We know you will.
And you'll see.
Go on, Tuxter, you got this, pal.
Yeah.
You'll see by the end of the year, like, that's the goal, just to be back there again. But it's a difficult mountain, like, because I'll go to training and I'll be not wanting to eat when I get back, and I won't want to think about anything, because I want to think about weight and I want to think about things like that. And then, I mean, I went back into hospital for other things again later in the year, which made things a lot harder. But just the main, so I went through quite a lot this past year, and with that, and with my injury and the recovery, genuinely the hardest part about it was the fact that I knew, this is going to sound so cliche, I knew my Achilles was ruptured, but something else had gone mentally, something else had been broken.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to support that apart from time. There was nothing to heal it. It was just,
yeah,
you let it happen.
It's quite interesting to hear how hand in hand physical injuries and a mental injury, so to speak, are. Because
yeah,
people looking at your injury, there's quite a lot of guys I know that would just turn around and go, oh, I mean, you're injured, but you'd be back in. You know, your recovery time is this amount. You'd be fine by the time you get there. But that's not the point. The whole point is, the mental effects, the effect it's had on you mentally, puts your recovery time far longer than any doctor's 100%. Ever going to give you.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of lads won't give themselves that breathing space or recognise that it's going to be a long road. Mm. And looking at that goal at the end, until you take that first step, you're very reluctant to do it.
Yeah, it's probably quite common when you think in sport teams. There's probably a player that has like an injury, let's say a footballer.
Jackie Wilshere.
Yeah, and then they mentally give up because they just aren't in it as much.
There was a young lad who got dropped from Man City's academy, was it?
Sir Patrick Roberts.
I can't remember his name, unfortunately.
No,
I read a story that he was unfortunately dropped from City's academy, and then that was it for him. He saw nothing else in his life worth living and he unfortunately took his own life. But that kind of just epitomises everything that you've just talked about. You know, it's sport is a very big factor for a lot of people, and it is people's lives.
I've had a relatively similar experience, nowhere near the level of the Tuxters, but I was back in the day, I was a bit of a nifty cricketer, and the Guildford team I played in.
Why don't you join the Sussex cricket team then?
No, he's got hockey.
Yeah, hockey's better fun, mate.
Stop leaving.
No, but no. You were in Sussex cricket though, weren't you?
Yeah, but I saw the light, came back to the hockey boys.
Oh, but yeah. Is that what happened?
That's besides the point.
Cricket, please come on the podcast.
Shout out my boy Chin.
Yeah, and Matt Funnel. I know you're not there anymore.
Funnel, yeah.
That's my point before you boys rudely interrupted.
We were out with Funnel.
Short class Monday.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Love a funnel.
Well, what was I on about? I used to be a bit of a cricketer.
You used to be a cricketer.
And we had got to the way it works in cricket, we're in the cup competition. Hmm. Instead of playing one final and having a semi-final on separate days, you have the finals day, which are your semi-finals and then the final after.
Yeah.
And that was taking place around the end of August. I'd played every game in the cup leading up to that. We played like 15 rounds with like the Surrey, the South East, whatever. Mm. I actually had a bit of a stormer in the quarter final, picked up man of the match, bowling the final over. They need like 7 left, first 2 wides. I'm like, oh, I fucked it. But then clawed it back, great death bowling. Got man of the match. This happens like July time, so got like a month until the thing. Don't want to get the rust building on those joints, whatever. And so we had a warm-up game against like a local team like a week before, and it was pretty chilled out. I remember I was batting, and as I was running a 2, there was a little hole in the ground by the second the crease.
Yeah.
I've turned in, and I've just like rolled my ankle pretty badly, and I was like, oh shit, I'll be fine. Continue playing for like another delivery or two, and I was like, hang on a minute, I can't really put any pressure on it. Went to the hospital, and I'd recently just had a growth spurt into the 6'4" hunk of a man I am now. But at the time, I was like, where your legs, where all your muscles work, whatever, your bones grow but your ligaments are like the same size and your bones grow around them.
Yeah.
And for me, the ligaments were stronger than the bones. They like ripped off a chunk of bone.
Yeah.
Not very fun. And so having done all this grind to play in these national finals, couldn't obviously do it because I was in crutches for 2.5 months. But like, I remember just being in A&E, finding out, I was like breaking down in tears, but obviously it's nothing of the level of the Tuxters national hockey dream, which is still.
Do you remember like the sort of, after hearing it first, like after you'd come to your senses after the breakdown, so to speak, what you did next? Like, what was the, where was your head? What was next?
To be fair, I don't think, I didn't lose my head too badly. No, I was pretty all right with it, I think. Mm. But I remember at the time, it was like initial, you're really upset, but I was sort of like, these things happen. We go again next year, which sadly we didn't, but hey, hey. And thankfully they won without me, but it always hurts when they win without you, John.
What are they called?
Guildford Cricket Club.
Oh.
It's like
I was going to shout them out, but
what player was it? Marco Royce got injured just before the World Cup.
Again.
Germany went and won the World Cup.
He's always injured.
He's just got injured today and he's missing this World Cup again.
Again. Was he meant to be in the squad?
He was. He was on the, like, do you know what I mean? Like a James Madison-esque.
Yeah. Before
I think we haven't mentioned World Cup squads.
Should we just say that the reason why we've opened up about these stories there of experiences you have is obviously to encourage people to feel okay to talk about things. The one thing thing that we can take from it is that if something like this happens to you, whether it's a injury or an intense experience, please don't let it eat you up in a way. Like,
yeah.
Don't let it control you. You can control what's happened to you, and you can make the best from it. And you can try and be
respect.
Yeah, and you can try. There is ways. Go and speak to people. Go speak to the people around you. Don't let it all just clog up and just stay within you, because it only makes the situation worse, I think.
And the other thing is, it's not an easy thing to do. These three lads have just talked about situations that are close to their hearts or have had a big effect on them.
Mm.
And it's been no easier doing it on a podcast that's going to go out to however many
millions
people.
Of viewers.
50 viewers.
The thousands we got week one.
Does it say on Spotify how many listens we got?
I can't see it. Sussex sees that. But it does say the ratings.
What was it,
15,
five?
15 people have rated 5 stars so far.
One of them being Matty Merritt, one's Finn Smith, Finn Tookie and Alex Sibley's mums, dads and
my 12 members of my extended family.
Mammy. Maeve.
Maeve.
All right, England footy time. Teams come out today. Conor Gallagher's made the cut. And I can't help but think that is down to his wonderful season at the boys in red and blue. South London's number one, Crystal Palace.
See, you make a very good point there. You think it was his previous season. I'm probably pinning it down to his 90th minute winner against his Palace. Old club, where he bends it into the top right corner. Conor Gallagher.
Should we do this again? All right. Listen, for context, so Tookie, myself, travels
third
back.
Person time.
Third person
travels back most weekends to watch his beloved Crystal Palace play. So me and Papa Tookie, shout out Andy.
Andy.
That was one of my icks before.
Andy.
But
to be fair, walking ick this boy.
we sat there and we knew as soon as sexy Connor comes on, it was game over, because that man
ogres.
That man loves a goal at Selhurst Park. Mm. And actually, you know what? My beloved Mark and Tyreek did not make the cut, but I'm backing the boys all the way. Conor Gallagher is going to be representing the red and blue at the World Cup, regardless of what club he plays for now.
I think this has been a bit of a longer episode, so I'm going to streamline this process. I'm going to be quick fire with you now, boys.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Matty Merritt, because he's probably got the worst ball knowledge around the table.
Do you know who actually did compliment my ball knowledge?
Who? Kit Goddard.
Yeah.
Big up Kit Goddard, mate.
Bosch's
second best player.
Going to fight that in the comments, because I think I'm worse than him.
Because of the trivia.
It's known back home. I've got bad ball knowledge.
Okay, but Matty's got really bad, in my head, bad knowledge. So we're going to ask him first, then we're going to go to Finn Smith, then to Finn Tookie. But what I want from you is, who is the most outrageous player not to be in the squad, and who do you think they should replace? And then you chuck in a little wild card for me. And you can't obviously say the same.
I think Wilson is a shock. I don't
Callum,
think
Callum. Yep. 79 rated gold rare FIFA card this year.
I think he should be replaced by either Tony,
Ivan,
or Tammy.
Why?
I just tell think us Tony why. Has been in unreal form, and I think it's actually so unfair that he hasn't been picked.
Penalty shootout.
Callum Wilson hasn't been terrible this season.
Callum Wilson's been
alright. Been better, and Tammy's season. Tammy had a brilliant season last season. Hasn't had the best season as much.
I
this
don't
year.
Think Gareth Southgate looks past the Prem.
No, I don't.
And he shouldn't
such a violation.
Because the Serie A is a shockingly.
Farmers to be
league.
Fair, you can see what the Chelsea boys did to the Italian
that's
champions
exactly
in Milan.
What I'm saying.
I think
where
that's
was
what
it?
I'm saying.
I don't know if I mentioned last time, but I actually went to Milan quite recently. The flight to Dortmund is booked, baby. 15th of February. Jake Sloggett's 21st birthday.
Okay, right. Another one. So I'm just looking at the team again. Eric.
Eric Dier.
Eric Dier. Don't think he should be in the squad.
Mark
I only need one from you because otherwise the boys going to have to say nothing else. Yeah, but I now need your prediction for the winner of the World Cup.
Well, I've already said this on a previous podcast. Sweet. I've actually written down every single person so far, their predictions, and I stick by the three lines. I think England are going to win the World Cup.
I respect your loyalty.
Yes.
Or your immaturity, but England's luck has run out.
No, it's not.
I would love for someone to clip this and repost it.
We're not getting clips.
We're not even being posted on TikTok. Be like, who the fuck's that mug who said that? But England will not go past the quarterfinals.
Have you seen what the supercomputer said?
No.
So you know they have a supercomputer that predicts every World Cup, and it's usually
I thought it was not
gets it right. Well, yeah, that was one year, but they've got and it predicts. England will get to the semi-finals and lose to Portugal on penalties, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, and then it's Argentina.
The final will be Argentina-Portugal, Argentina win.
Yeah, I think that is a...
Leo Messi.
I would love for that to happen, apart from I would prefer Portugal to win.
Let's get back to the questions.
Okay.
Okay, I was going to comment more, but...
Who's your winner?
England.
Finn Smith. Biggest
person shock.
Person should be in the team. I'm waffling.
Person you think should be in the team and who you should drop for them. And who wins the World Cup?
And your player of the tournament, maybe.
It's between Harry Maguire and Connor Cody or Eric Dier.
We'll go with
Maguire. Maguire hasn't been, he can't even start on his own team currently. Yeah. I get that.
Dead ball knowledge, you don't think Maguire's not good for
Maguire is shit.
I think it's a good point about Maguire because you need in teams like your leaders, your Ashley Coles, your Dave Aspilicueta's, like. He's not going to be the best on the pitch, but he will work fucking hard. And you need the leaders who've been there before, who've been to that semi-final at the World Cup in Russia, then the Euros at fucking Wembley. Like they've done it before. They know how they can take that pressure, which maybe we lacked when 100. The penalty shootout last time. Like, why is 19-year-old Bukayo Saka taking a penalty? Harry Maguire bins it. Best penalty of the lot.
Who would you have to replace Harry Maguire then?
Finn Smith.
I said I would replace Harry Maguire.
No, I'm talking to Finn.
Oh, sorry. Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, I think we should probably...
I like looking at you?
Speed.
Yeah, Finn.
Cliche. Everyone wants him to be in. Didn't really get a look in. Tomori.
Don't you dare Tomori. Say Tomori.
Yeah, 100%.
Syria. Tomori is not that.
I'd say Callum Wilson.
He's starting centre-back. Tomori's starting centre-back for AC Milan when they won the league, and you don't think he should be in the England
Syria.
Squad?
What is Syria? They won the Syria. Mate, the Syria is equal to like Sikova. Charlton winning League One. Like, it's not that.
To be fair, Palace wouldn't beat them, so you can shut up.
No, you watch. Palace are playing Napoli during the World Cup, and we'll show you exactly what's going on.
Okay, so Finn, your
and who's winning?
Argentina.
Okay. I would say Eric Dier's got to go, Mark Gayey in. And who's going to win the World Cup? Germany, just
we
because
we haven't had a Germany yet.
Just because you got to think about it.
I can never wish upon a German win.
No, this tournament,
tournament of his life.
This tournament is open for this tournament is genuinely open for anyone. France aren't about it. Any Southern American team aren't about it.
If Giroud turns it on, France are contenders.
So Germany to win. Eric Dier out, Mark Gayey in. Do you want me to move on to the trivia?
I would actually first like to let you know mine.
Yeah, let us know.
I'm not going to bore you with ins and outs of the squad, but I think that Belgium are going to do it, and Eden Hazard is going to be player of the tournament.
You are deluded, mate.
Chelsea.
Do you have a bet on it? If any of our teams win,
start. Yeah, well, I said that on the episode that got released today, that there should be whoever wins, the other people should do something for it. Or they down a pint.
Maeve. down Maeve.
Dirty pint, maybe.
Do you want me to get on with the trivia?
Let's do it, mate.
So, Belgium for Tipley.
Trivia! Okay. Inside. Matty, I'd like to hear your buzzer noise, please.
My buzzer noise is Gile.
Cool. Finn Smith, what's your buzzer noise?
Man.
Taking it right from underneath Tipper's nose, what's your buzzer noise?
Maeve.
Sounds good. All right, straight into it. We love it. I'm back again.
What is the
on
theme?
The trivia questions. It's a mixture. We've got
general knowledge, baby.
We've got a bit of Sussex hockey knowledge, a bit of personal Finn's thoughts, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, and we've got a bonus question as well.
Fantastic.
Okay, question number one. Listen, boys, because you're not going to be able to answer if you're laughing. Who has the most cards in the club Sussex hockey this season?
Gile.
Maeve.
Go on.
Maeve.
Matty first.
Archie.
Wrong.
Maeve.
Go on, Finn.
Me.
Yes.
Oh, well, I haven't been to your games. I just assumed it was
so that
Archie.
Means, Finn, you need to watch your...
I think at this club, there's a bit of a discipline passion, issue. Mate. And I think there should be a rule on if you have too many cards, which leaves the rest of the team running more, you should be dropped.
Interesting. Cool.
I feel like Tookie's taking that into consideration.
Yeah, mate.
Respect, brother.
Trust me, king of the selections. Actually, sorry, just to state, I'm not king of selections. I do ask lots of people.
Can we get a card?
I personally don't get asked, actually, so thanks.
You're not part of the leadership squad?
I am. I own the club.
Okay. So this is more of a question about how well you know me. Who is my current player of the season?
What, in hockey?
Kieran Trippier. Oh.
Hockey.
Your current player this is Gile.
Yeah, go on.
Maeve.
Dan De Jong.
No.
Maeve.
Yeah.
Eduardo.
Yes.
This isn't fair. This isn't fair because I'm not in the ones. Kay. This is favoured for them.
You should know me.
Both the questions.
You should know me.
I haven't watched any of the games.
I back Eduardo. When he's on, he's a silky El Nino.
Question number three. All right, I am going to list off the teams this player has played for, and you can stop me at any time and tell me who you think the player is. Okay, this player has played... So I'm going from where he started to where he finished.
Okay.
Stop trying to
do that.
I think he's still currently playing.
He's still currently playing. Great to know.
Okay.
Newcastle.
Right.
Preston North End on loan. Okay. Liverpool.
It's not funny.
West Ham on loan. West Ham. Back to Newcastle.
Maeve.
Go.
I have no clue.
West Ham back to Newcastle.
You're not allowed to.
No, I am. I'm just bantering.
So he's gone from West Ham after his previous loan at West Ham. He's gone to West Ham, then back to Newcastle. Then he's gone to Reading, and then he's gone to West Bromwich Albion, and then back to Reading.
Maeve.
Go.
Who were the clubs again?
He started at Newcastle. He's one of the Geordie's favourites. All right. He's also played for England. He went on loan to Preston North End, then had a big money move to West Ham. Then went on loan to, not to West Ham, he had a big money move to Liverpool. Then went on loan to
Ashley
West Ham.
Young?
No.
Close enough.
Aston Villa.
He played for Villa.
I think he played for Reading though.
He played for Man United.
Like, at the end of his career, he played for Reading.
At one point.
Because he's not at Aston Villa right now.
At what point did he say Man United or Villa?
I don't know, mate. I'm pretty fucked.
All right. So he went to West Ham on loan, then signed for West Ham for also a lot of money. And then Newcastle paid a lot of money to have him back. Then he went to Reading. Then went to West Brom. Didn't stay a full season at West Brom before he went back to Reading.
What position does he play?
Striker.
Bobby Zamora.
No.
Striker.
Yes. A Geordie striker that's played for England, not Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer.
Gile.
Yes.
Wilson.
No.
Oh,
because he's not at Reading right now.
Are you also Bournemouth? Like.
Yeah.
A bit longer.
All right. He is.
Jermaine Defoe. Are you looking
no.
at
No. He is the. He is the
We're
yin.
Useless.
He is the yin to the small man's yang. He's the tall man up front. He's also
oh my god,
Gile,
Gile, Gile,
don't say
Andy Carroll.
Yeah, there we go. Matty gets a point.
Oh, shit, our ball knowledge is so wank. I'm so right. sorry, Kit Godard.
Question number four: who has the most Palace top flight appearances
ever?
Ever. Top flight, top flight includes the original First Division before
Maeve.
The silly corporate
no
Premier League. Go on.
No one cares.
Huh?
No.
That was your answer?
Yeah.
All right, so you're disqualified and you've lost.
Gilles.
I'll have them.
Who's the CB? Joel Ward.
No.
Ugh.
I actually don't know. I don't follow small clubs.
It's really, really obvious.
Gilles.
Yes.
Conor Gallagher.
Maeve. Johan Kabay.
You're disqualified. Go on.
Man. Mate, this is really embarrassing.
Gary Cahill.
Oh my God, he played for one season. The biggest player Palace have ever had.
Gilles Zaha.
There you go.
Nathaniel Clyne.
2-0 up at the moment.
2-2. Finn's got two.
No, he's been disqualified.
I got his points, so it's 2-2 being you.
Question number five. Where did Chelsea finish on the expected points table last season?
Expected points table?
Yeah. I'm a bit of an XG connoisseur.
So expected points, is that expected points before the game or after based on the match result?
Based on the match result. You should have won.
So expected goals is the correct term.
No, because expected goals is game.
I was going to leave the tippers.
Expected points is the expected point. No. Expected points would have been predicted before the game. You're looking for expected goals, I think.
Gilles, sick.
No.
Maeve.
Was it 12. Something outrageous like second?
Yeah, it is second.
That's my... Oh, I'm fucking brilliant.
Gilles, second.
Who was then third?
Matthew takes the point. Okie dokie.
We've got Super Tommy Tuchel.
All right. And bonus question. This is worth 3 points. Finn, you're still disqualified.
I'm on three, Matt. He's on two.
You didn't do the buzzword.
It's rigged.
Shut the fuck up.
This brings Tippers back into the game if he gets this one.
I'm already on three.
Okay.
Who is top currently of the UK podcasts on Spotify?
Maybe Maeve. What's Good Fellas?
No.
What?
Fellas Podcast.
The Fellas Podcast or What's Good? They're both separate.
It's neither of them.
Diary of a CEO.
No.
Wrong.
Maeve,
you're not involved, mate.
Fuck off.
Maeve. I'm going.
Not even saying it in the voice anymore, we're just saying a name.
Would it be Sidemen Plus?
No.
Sidecast.
Because Maeve. Sidecast, because that's only on Side Plus.
Gilles.
It's on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's
a comedian, by the way.
Yep, Joe Rogan.
No.
Oh, fuck.
Maeve.
A comedian from my hometown of Bromley.
It's English. Maeve.
Ricky Gervais.
This man is.
Do you know it?
Is it Peter Crouch?
No. Rob Beckett.
Who's that?
Oh, Rob he's on but Mr. Big Sport Tick. Or something like that. Yeah. Big Mouth.
I was going to say Shits and Gigs, but.
Well, I thought that was. He's on Big Mouth.
No, he's got a big mouth.
So, what we've decided was I won it.
Okay, for fair.
Getting the bonus question.
Yeah.
Shout out Joe Sewell if you're listening. Probably won't be. Someone will tell him. Bella Bedette, probably. Who's the most capped Premier League player ever as of last weekend?
What? Someone overtook
James
Gareth
Milner?
Barry?
Wrong.
Someone overtook Gareth Barry?
Yeah.
What? Ashley Young?
Yeah. No. Goalkeeper.
What? Oh, Ben Foster.
Wrong. No, you're not speaking anymore. Finn, one guess.
Shout out Fozcast.
Shout out fellow podcast.
Goalkeeper. David.
David De Gea. What?
No, yeah. He didn't.
Most catch Premier League player of all time.
That's what he just told me.
How many games?
Who? David told you that?
No, Joe Sewell told me.
Oh.
What?
That is not true.
Gareth Barry has 653 games. Does that mean David De Gea has had more than him?
I don't know. That's what he said.
Gareth Barry, 653. Ryan Giggs, 632.
Who's the most capped United player of all time?
Giggs.
Giggs? Ryan Giggs didn't just necessarily play for United, did he? I don't know.
Pretty sure he did.
It would be Giggs.
Well, Joe Sewell, you fucking sold me for a mug, mate. I look like an idiot.
He's not even the top 20.
The top goalkeeper? Probably not.
No.
No.
I've just seen better Chad.
Mate, I've been sold Edward for a complete mug.
He's not in the top 40. Ben Foster's actually ahead of him.
I'm mad.
So now we've done the trivia, I'm pretty sure... Have we covered everything?
Is he the most capped player? Active players. Active players.
Why are
James
you trying
Milner
to fight
still
point?
Playing.
Yeah. James Milner.
In the Premier League.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Right, so yes, just to wrap up for the episode, obviously what we have spoken about today is about things that we have struggled with in the past, because we're trying to encourage people to talk about these things. Sorry, Tip is just walking towards me as I'm doing this outro. We are trying to encourage speaking about these sort of stories and speak about these sort of subjects to encourage other people talking about it to others. What we are all about is talking to people. That's what it's all about. It's what we care about so much with mental health. And what is such a big deal is talking to people about these things. Don't feel afraid to talk to people about what you've gone through. Don't feel afraid to be embarrassed. We spoke about these things today as a way of showing of us opening up to show other people that you can do it as well. I want to say thank you so much to everyone to listening. Thank you, boys, for coming on once again. It's truly been a pleasure.
Thank you, Matty.
Thank you, Matty.
Can't wait till I'm also hosting.
Let's have a quick hand for Matty because he's putting in a lot of time. He's editing all the videos by himself. He's filmed the most, or he's doing it all himself. We're just here for vibes. He's an actual grinder. So, round of applause.
And just before we wrap it up, if you are struggling with mental health and you need to speak to someone about it, Sussex have their own nightline, which is a number 01273 873 216. I'll say that again, 01273 873 216. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during term time. It's student volunteers. Trained volunteers offer you non-judgmental support. If you do not feel like you have the right people around you to talk about these sort of things, then please give that number a call. They are there. It's what their job is to help you out with these sort of things. Thank you so much for everyone listening. Thank you, boys, for coming on again. Do you want to do that?
We're actually going to do a giveaway. If you text or DM the Sticks Instagram page, you'll be put into a hat. Your name will, but you personally won't be.
Just forced into that.
And you can win a free ticket to our Friday Night Lights fixture.
Oh, yes.
On the 9th of December.
Yes.
And they'll be going like gold dust.
Yes,
so
they will.
This podcast will be coming out a week before the Friday Night Lights fixture. This fixture is in aid of charity, Crisis at Christmas, which is here to help those less fortunate than ourselves at Christmas. Also, we're going to have two top quality games. There'll be music. It will be ticketed. Love you all.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Till next time. Goodbye for the boys.
Hasta luego. See you in a bit.